Jesus told his apostles, the 12 that he had called unto himself, to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so the people to whom the apostles were primarily going were people who should have understood and known Genesis through Malachi. And so the things that the apostles would be preaching concerning the kingdom of heaven, they would have in their mind an idea of that kingdom of God there with David on the throne and Judah being that light on a hill shining forth as they were faithful to the Lord, the way of God. But in his pep talk, if you please, as they're about to go out, he reminds them that they're going to face persecution. The prince of darkness does not want light entering into his domain. But he reminds them not to fear those who can do damage to this body. But if we're going to fear, we need to fear the one who can do destruction to body and soul, who would, because we remain dead in our trespasses and sin, be obliged at the end of our life to have hell await us. And then that matter of being sure that his apostles continually, faithfully set forth the name of Jesus, confessing Jesus before the multitude. Then we looked at that need for love, that call to love. This evening we're looking at this business of receiving and of giving, and we're looking at it from the idea that the apostles, as they go forth, are to be able to identify such people. So in a sense, what we're considering this evening is what God looks for in you and in me. Are we people who know what it is and who it is we're to receive? And are we a people who know what it is to give and what it is we're to give? And so let's listen to what we have, and I'll read only for us this evening verses 40 through 42 and then verse 1 of chapter 11, verses 34 verses 40 through 42 from chapter 10 of Matthew, and then the first verse of chapter 11. Listen to the word of God. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me him, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Whoever gives one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. And now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. During the days of Jesus, when someone was renowned as a teacher, and that person would send someone in their place, and the audience would listen to what that person had to say, bearing word from their teacher, what those people would receive from that ambassador, from that messenger, was likened unto their receiving actually what the teacher himself taught. And we understand that. How many of you were in a university or a college and the professor who was known throughout the world was in charge of the course that was being taught, but that professor didn't come and teach it. A teacher's aide came and taught it. But what were you learning? Were you learning what the teacher's aide had to say? No, you were learning what the head of the department would teach you if he or she were in the classroom. So if I took a course in a university that so-and-so was teaching, regardless of whether that professor was in the room teaching, I got credit as though I learned from that teacher. So what's he saying? You 12, as you go out and you preach the word, you pay attention to those who will receive you. Why? So that it can be like when Paul's writing to the Corinthians, you can say, well, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of, no, it's not, I listen to Peter, so I'm Peter's, no, I listen to Andrew, no. If they truly heard one of you or all of you, what would they do? They would receive the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the message? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does it mean the kingdom of heaven is at hand? It means that Jesus has come. That the Messiah has come. That the one like unto David has come. That the prophet unto Moses has come. This is what the apostles were saying. And so if you receive the message of the apostle, you are receiving the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Why? Because that is the point of the message of the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Own the Lord Jesus Christ, for as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God. But it doesn't stop there. We don't simply, if we listen to what the apostles say, have Jesus to become our elder brother, indeed our Lord and our Savior. But it's far more than that. We receive his Father as well. We receive the one who sent the Son. And so it reminds us, doesn't it, of how the Son came. It reminds us of the uniqueness of this Son whom we are embracing, that the apostles are preaching. This Son who's born of a virgin because his dad's the Father, God. Do we grasp that? Do we appreciate the fact that when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father adopts us into his family. We receive Daddy. Daddy. Abba, Father. We can now crawl up on his lap. And we can rest our heads in his chest. And we can find peace with Daddy. Unlike our father, according to the flesh, the devil really never gives us peace, does he? He's always putting a carrot out in front of us that's going to make us move a little farther and a little farther and a little farther, looking for real peace. And we just never find it because he's not the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Destruction. He's the Prince of Darkness. He's the Prince of everything evil. And as we're wrapped up in the things of this flesh, the things of this world, the things that are going to perish one day, we will not, at the end of our lives, be satisfied. And you know the trite statement when they ask the multimillionaire, how much is enough? It's always just a little bit more. And we sit back and say, you know, if I had just maybe an eighth of what you have. But would we? Would we truly be satisfied apart from the saving knowledge of Jesus, apart from receiving that apostle's message that gave us an understanding of Jesus Christ? That the Holy Spirit used that message of the apostle to cause us to be born again and to receive Him as our Lord and Savior. And to then understand, to receive Him is to receive the One who sent Him. We now have God the Father as our Father. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Who is a prophet? Well, Moses was the type, wasn't he? Well, yes and no. There was that matter of, but Lord, I really don't speak so well. Oh, well, then your brother Aaron, he'll be your prophet. So the Lord is going to tell Moses what Moses is to say, but because Moses is I don't know if he stuttered. But Aaron could speak eloquently. And so Aaron becomes the prophet of Moses. And then we come down to all of the prophets. What is the test to determine whether a prophet's a prophet? If what they says comes to pass, it's the word of God. If it doesn't come to pass, they're not prophets. And so when we go to the scriptures, and when we read the scriptures, how do we know that what we're reading is the prophetic word of God? Because the scriptures themselves testify to the reality of what's being said. We don't come with our scientific minds and try to determine, well, yeah, I think, yes, I can agree with it. Oh, no, that doesn't make sense. I'm not sure that this is really the prophet of God. No. When we read the scriptures grab us. We know God's talking to us. We hear the voice of God. We hear the voice of God through the voice of Elijah or Jeremiah or Daniel or Paul or the writer of the Hebrews or John or Peter. Matthew, Mark, or Luke. We hear Moses in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. God speaks. And our hearts are warmed. And they glow. But the interesting thing is, hearing the voice of the prophet is not going to make us to become a prophet. We're the hearers of what the prophets have to say. And we then, as hearers of what the prophet has to say, some of us, like myself, have been called to stand before God's people and prophesy from the scriptures. In other words, preach the word of God. And so you sit back and you say, wow, he's really going to get a wonderful reward because look at what he does. For 42 years he served in congregations in the denomination, and now in retirement he's serving more than... What's the passage tell us? Each and every one of you who will not by God's grace be called to be a prophet will receive, are you ready? The exact same reward that I will. Or to put it the other way, I'm going to receive the exact same reward as y'all. Are we enough south to say y'all? Or I have to in Birmingham. I don't know. Jens, that's up there, but we're not there yet. Do you understand what Jesus is saying to the apostles? Those who receive you receive me, and they receive the Father. And those who receive a prophet, you receive the same reward as a prophet. And then he goes on and he says, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. How many times do we get caught up in putting people who, by the grace of God, exemplify a very righteous life? I really appreciated the prayer, as we were reminded, kind of like the writer to the Hebrews does, of those persons of faith, as we were led to remember how God worked mightily in some of those men who are now spiritually in the presence of the Lord awaiting the resurrection. I really appreciate that. And I admit that I aspired often to be like those men, and you know what? I still aspire to be like those men. Because they were men who were able to say, I am who I am because of Christ and His righteousness that is mine. Why were they so humble? Why were they so unassuming? Why were they so lowly and gentle and yet giants in the faith? Because they knew the righteous one who granted them their righteousness. And those of us, it doesn't matter how many years God gives us on this earth, are not going to be, in the eyes of the church, quite like those men. But we're going to receive the same reward. Now, that doesn't mean, oh, goody, I can be slothful. No. It simply reminds us that when we receive the message of the apostles, Jesus and His Father, we begin to understand this prophet and this righteous one is not so much the preacher and the ones who have shown forth lives of remarkable grace. But we're going to receive the same reward that our Jesus received. You ever stop and think about it? Now, yes, we're going to be His inheritance. But what is it that we're going to inherit? We're going to inherit the new heavens and the new earth that He Himself will inherit because of His righteousness that He lived on this earth. So you see, we receive the Son and receive the Father, we receive the prophet, we receive the righteous. It's all about receiving Jesus. It's all about knowing Jesus. It's all about Jesus at the end of the day and where we stand with Jesus. But then, after He's talked about, have we received what we ought to receive if we really want to know life? He talks about giving. And do you see what He talks about? Do you see what kind of givers we're supposed to be? Do you see how the giving that He speaks about is a giving that there is not a human being in this room this evening that is not able to give? Exactly what is stated here. Every one of you children, If I were to say, I'm thirsty, could get up out of your seat, walk down, get me a drink of water and bring it to me, couldn't you? I, a little one, right, who needs a cup of cold water, and you can come and say, in the name of Jesus, here. Here. There's not a one of us here this evening who's not able to be a giver. A cup of cold water. Not in my name. Look, here comes Bruce. He's got water for us. Yay, Bruce! Here comes Bruce, who is a servant of the Lord, who's bringing us water. You see, Jesus wants every one of us to understand that when we are called into the family of God, we all are in the family of God. And there's no greater family in which to be a member. And none of us is better than the other one of us in that family. We all have the gifts and the abilities that God has given us, and we must use those gifts and those abilities in the name of Jesus. So as we go forth Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, doing those things that the Holy Spirit has equipped us to do, the things that we delight in doing that are honoring to Him, we do them with thanksgiving to the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ, so that we're light and salt in the gap. And when we live that way, it'll be antithetical, and there will be those who will persecute us. And we will say, as the Apostle Paul said, thank you, Lord Jesus, that I may fill up your suffering by suffering as you did. Assuredly I say to you, he shall not, by no means, he shall by no means lose his reward. And after that's finished, the apostles are sent, Jesus go home and goes to bed. My work's done. I've sent out the apostles. I can sleep. No. Now he goes to the towns from which they came and he teaches there and he preaches there. Why? Because they've left and he must go. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. In their cities. Jesus is all about preaching, teaching, discipling the nations, that the nations would be baptized and discipled. And Jesus calls you, and he calls me. To be such people. And let me conclude with a story that a commentary cited from H.L.G. There was a cobbler, a shoe cobbler, in a town. And in those days, cobblers not only made shoes, they were known for reading books. The age of Puritans, when they had nothing better to do than read those thick tomes of writers. And he really, as a cobbler, wished that he could be a preacher. But he just never was able to give himself to the studies to become a minister of the gospel. But there was a young man in his community who was studying to be a minister of the gospel. And this cobbler would go alongside of him, and this cobbler would encourage him, and this cobbler would help him in his reading, and this cobbler would be a cheerleader for this young man. And this young man studied, and this young man was licensed and ordained and sent to preach the gospel. And the cobbler said to him, "You have to promise me one thing. You have to wear the shoes that I will make for you for free, so that every time you're in the pulpit preaching, you're standing in my shoes." You grant hospitality to the men who come here to preach. You have prophet's chambers in your home. You provide sustenance for the ministry of the gospel. As you support the ministry of the word, it's as if you, through them, are preaching that word. You're part of the ministry, the public ministry of the church, as you support those who are called to go to South Sudan, to go to Japan, to go to Chile, to go to Pakistan 1 or Pakistan 2, to go to India, to go to Spain, to go to the Gambia, to go. As they go, in a sense they go in, well, it's on our dollar. And the reward that they receive is the exact same reward that you and I will receive. Today, Jesus is not on this earth to go from city to city to preach his word. But he's raised up his church where the disciples are equipped for the work of ministry so that that work of ministry can go on Monday through Saturday. And the lost, through the laborers that he sends into the vineyard, can bring in the harvest to be baptized and discipled, receiving and giving. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you again for this word. Thank you for again how you apply it to our lives. We are the fruit of those 12 who were sent out. And we thank you that throughout the world there's more and more and more fruit brought in as people receive the apostles' word, the Lord Jesus Christ, you, God our Father, the prophet Jesus and his righteousness. May we give freely those cups of cold water in Jesus' name. Use us then where you placed us in our communities to be the salt and light that you said we would be as your church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.